E2i Design is a full solutions provider for all things audio, video, lighting, and broadcast. Whether it be design, installation, or offering gear for a great price, E2i Design supports you by providing the right tools for the job. Look them up on Facebook or Instagram at E2i Design, or visit their website, e2idesign.com. Each year, one in three seniors dies with Alzheimer's or another dementia. More than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and in 2020, COVID-19 contributed to a 17% increase in Alzheimer's and dementia deaths. It kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. In 2022, Alzheimer's and other dementias will cost the nation $321 billion. By 2050, these costs could rise to nearly $1 trillion. That's where you come in. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is an annual effort to raise awareness, defray costs, and increase research funding of this deadly disease. Get involved by starting a walk team today. It's free and just might save a life. Find out more at ALZ.org. That's ALZ.org.
Episode 404 of the Motor City HDJ podcast is called Your Vendor's Just Not That Into You. Yes, the wedding planning process is a chore, especially when it's hard to work with people or when they give you warning signs and red flags. And unless you personally know each vendor you've chosen for your big day, there is a possibility you will see warning signs that tell you the person you found on Google may not be right for you. And no matter what kind of party you're throwing, finding vendors you can vibe with is super important during the wedding planning process. So today we're going to look at some of the warning signs that the vendor you've hired may not be what you expected. And I've even got some questions you can ask yourself to start thinking about these things. Of course, E2i Design is the sponsor of this podcast. Visit their website, e2idesign.com, or on social media at E2i Design. Your vendor is just not that into you. Episode 404 of the Motor City HDJ podcast starts right now. Howdy do, Motor City. It's your DJ, Brett Cummins. We are toward the end of March now, and it has been an amazing month. A very quick recap, by the way. I hope you're doing quite well. A very quick recap, because there's not a whole lot to recap in March as far as events go. I was able to start the wedding season earlier this month. Said congratulations to Mackenzie and Curtis back to the Golden Globe Ballroom in Saginaw. And just a couple weeks ago, got to celebrate with my friends Marilyn and Perry at Myth Golf and Banquets in Oakland, Michigan. So congratulations to those two couples. This past weekend, I got a little R&R in. I took the family up to Great Wolf Lodge in Traverse City, so we were able to get away. Really, honestly, it was to celebrate Brianna's 10th birthday. I have a 10-year-old, y'all. I can't believe it. She'll be 16 next year is how we... That's how we feel about it. Because they grow up quick, man. Someone said recently to me, I heard someone say that the days are long, but the years fly by. And that could not be more true. So we were excited to celebrate Brianna's birthday up at Great Wolf Lodge. Take a little trip up there, get some rest and relaxation in before the season gets going. April, it is not as busy as I thought it would be, which is good. But once we get into May, that's when it's off to the races. And of course, March Madness resumes tonight. So if you're listening to this, it is the, I believe, Sweet 16 today here in Detroit, which I think that's right. The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are taking place at Little Caesars Arena, which is awesome. Not that Little Caesars Arena has been used very much during basketball season. Pistons, I'm coming at you. yeah, they're horrible. I don't get it. But anyway, hopefully your bracket wasn't cracked too bad. I know Kentucky kind of wore mine out there into the Final Four. I had them going all the way to the Final Four. So good luck to you and the rest of your brackets out there. Yeah, not much to recap today, just because I want to get right into today's topic. It is very close to my heart. Because in the 25 years that I've been doing this, if nothing else, I've tried to give all of my clients a consistent experience. No matter how big the party, no matter what kind of event it is, I've always tried to be the same person from start to finish of the process and from event type to event type. The guy that you talk to on the phone for the first time, you fill out the information request form, I call you, that guy is the same guy you meet in person for the consultation, who just so happens to be the same guy that will show up and play for you. I try to be the same person, the same guy throughout the process. There's no changing. Okay, I've always tried to be transparent and be consistent with all of my clients, but that's not always the case with other wedding vendors that are out there. I've heard horror stories from people that hired someone else and then landed on me somehow as their second choice, and that's okay, because they got taken for a ride by another DJ. The fact is that unless you personally know and trust the vendor that you've hired, you may not be getting what you paid for. In fact, there may be warning signs along the way, but because of the stress of wedding planning, you may not always see them. It is wild to me that stuff like this happens, but I'm glad that I've been able to help some amazing couples in their time of need in situations just like this. Whether it's combing through reviews or asking your pals for suggestions or even just peeking at a vendor's work to help you narrow things down, when it's decision time, I feel very strongly that it's important to just go with your gut. Always trust your instincts when it comes to this stuff. So today, I'm going to offer up some questions that you should ask yourself to really help you gut check about your vendors to help you understand if you made the right choice for your wedding day team. I've got a handful of them, and these are questions that you can ask. The first one, the very first question you should ask, my feeling, do they lack a sense of urgency? We're all busy, right? As a DJ during the week, I'm good, mostly. On the weekend, you can't send me an email on a Saturday and expect me to respond right away. Now, if I can, if I've got an event and I've got some downtime, I might respond, but that's not always the case. The time it takes for a vendor to reply to your first information request, that's the one you want to look at. And it can vary due to several factors like their popularity, their busy periods, the service that they offer, right? And if you're after a top vendor in the area and they're swamped, it's normal for vendors like that to take their time. So truly don't be concerned there. But if you're someone who craves frequent communication and it takes ages for that vendor to get back to you, it could drive you crazy. And that's when it becomes a worry. No matter how relaxed you may be, you and your partner, you should be wary if you have to wait more than a couple of weeks for a response to a request. I've always believed in a sense of urgency. And if it's taking someone more than a couple weeks to respond to you, that delay could really be an indicator of disorganization or irresponsibility or just a tendency for things to drag on. And if a month passes, okay, let's say we go from a couple weeks now to a month without a response. Yeah, that's definitely a cause for concern. And I would consider going another route. As far as communication throughout the wedding planning journey, it's normal to hear from certain vendors more often than others, all the time. And with many vendors, you might not communicate for months. That happens with me all the time. You know, I get people that only will reconnect with me as the wedding draws near to finalize arrangements. And the way I've set up my communication to kind of sidestep the worry about sensing the sense of urgency is I will send out various touch points throughout the process. And yes, they're all, you know, I've typed them so that they just go out at certain points and it's typed in a way that makes it look like I just typed it. But that's by design. You know, I don't want emails to be impersonal, you know, so I've done as much as I can to make the emails feel personal, even though I'm not actually sending them in that moment. But those touch points are to make sure that you're feeling good along the way. And that's really to kind of prompt some of that urgency. If most of your wedding is already planned and there are only really minor tasks that remain, you might not communicate with your vendors a whole lot because it could be one of those things where it's just, we need to reconnect the day of or the week of or the month of. However, if you haven't had much communication with a vendor and there are still outstanding tasks as the wedding date approaches, then yeah, that's a significant cause for concern. Overall, my feeling is that if your vendor's communication skills are inadequate during the process, you should take that pretty seriously. Because if they fail to respond promptly or to even acknowledge your messages, even during busy periods, that's a big warning sign. Now, while it's understandable that you can't always be available or the vendor may not always be available, my feeling is that timely responsiveness is crucial. And any delay beyond just a few days is really just discourteous. As a professional, you should always have a sense of urgency. The first question you need to ask is, do they lack a sense of urgency? Second question, do they promise big things at a suspiciously low price? Now, This question is an interesting one to me, even though I wrote it. And the general idea, the thought is that most planning experts will advise couples to interview multiple vendors in each category to find the best match for their style and really to understand the service they offer and the costs. Now, selfishly, I have to say that I disagree with this one just a little bit. I understand completely the importance of doing your due diligence to make sure you find the DJ, the photographer, the videographer that's right for you. In fact, I encourage it. I know, and this is kind of teasing another one of the questions, but I know that my personality isn't a match for everyone out there, but I do know that my price point is competitive in the market. In most cases, I am well below where other competitors will be, and I've always been transparent about that. I make it a point to get right to it on the first phone call. Yeah, I mention it right there on the phone. I don't advertise my price on my website because I feel that if the cost of what I do is the most important thing to you, you've got the wrong guy. And it's for this very question right here. Your investment in me should be worth it at the end of the night. When the lights go on, we talk about this during my consultations. When the lights go on, you should go, that was worth it. To me, it all comes down to setting proper expectations. I always try to set the proper expectations right from the start so that there are no surprises about who I am or what I offer. Now, enough about me. What about the other guy? If a vendor is promising the world at a crazy low price and won't give you anything to back it up, any paperwork or any details on the extras you might have to pay for, yeah, that's a big red flag. That's a warning. And if they're offering some amazing deal without backing it up with proper documentation, you might want to think twice. Because it's tempting to jump on these offers, but you've got to ask questions. You've got to go through all the costs and make sure everything's clear to avoid any nasty surprises later on. When a vendor admits that they can't deliver exactly what you want, it might freak you out at first. Straight up, I talked to a potential client just last week. And it comes down to, for me, not understanding the cultural, all of the cultural things that would be involved. Musically, I mean. This client has seen me play before, and I was very candid to say, listen, I don't normally play this kind of cultural music. So, quite frankly, even with all the preparation I could do, there's no way that in the open dancing time that I would most likely be able to accommodate your guests. You would probably have people coming up to me, hey, play this one, play this one, play this one, which is completely not what a DJ should be doing. And again, that's even with weeks and months of preparation, still having people do that thing where they hand you their phone and say, well, hey, here, play this one. This might work. I don't want that. Yeah, I was very straight up and candid. I said, I could take your money and I could pretend to know what I'm doing in this case, but I'm not going to do that. However, and I told this, it was a groom that reached out. I told this fella, I said, hey, if you still can't find what you're looking for, if you've looked and you can't find someone that's going to do it, I'll give it a shot. But here's what you should expect. And I laid it all out and said, I don't know this music very well. I want to, I will do the research, but just know that failure is always an option. To quote Mythbusters, failure is always an option there. The good guys, the ones you can trust, they'll be straight up with you. Yes, I know that that outlines exactly what I just said. The good ones that are out there that you can trust will be candid with you and just tell you straight up. They'll talk about extra costs openly. They'll talk about what they can actually do candidly. They'll make sure you know what's what. And if you happen to talk to someone and they hit you with some not so great news or something you weren't expecting, don't sweat it too much. They're not trying to pull a fast one on you. They're just being real. Like I told this gentleman, you know, it might be a tough pill to swallow. He was really excited about me because he's seen me play before. Then I just told him, I said, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that culture and that music, but those are the vendors you can rely on. They will do their best to work within your budget and make things happen. So question two, do they promise big things at a suspiciously low price? Number two. Number three, do they flake on appointments and calls? If your vendor keeps forgetting appointments all the time, warning. Now, yes, we all have those days where things slip our minds, but if it's happening often, it's not a good sign, people. You want someone reliable when it comes to your big day and ultimately your wallet, right? Genuine excuses are fine once in a blue moon. But if it's happening too often, it's going to be hard to trust that vendor and their services. They need to step up their game. They may also need to get some help if managing their schedule is tough, because missing meetings or calls, that doesn't look good for business. I've had to reschedule stuff before, but I've also communicated that well before I knew that I needed to reschedule. How they handle the planning stuff tells you a lot about how they will handle your special day. Are they someone you can rely on? That's the biggest thing you need to really decide when you're picking a wedding vendor. Are they someone you can rely on? So if they can't even handle planning stuff, that's a big deal. Next question. Does their agreement make sense? Agreement, contract, whatever. I like the word agreement because that's what it is. Contract, I don't know. Understanding how your vendor deals with billing or payments or overall costs, that's a crucial piece to this as well. If they're a professional, if they do this for a living, they should hopefully be pro at invoicing, you know? If they start asking you for extra cash or pulling shady stuff like side deals or hidden fees, that's another major red flag. It just feels dodgy, right? Like they're not running a legal business. Yeah, and well, there's this this sneaky move, too. You got to watch out for this one. When they give you prices over email or the phone without mentioning all the other costs like taxes or delivery or labor, you've got to be careful about those. Everything should be in writing, and they should at least throw in words like approximately or estimated line item only to show that they know there's more to it than what they're saying. And for you to know that there's more to it than what they're saying. Here's a quick tip. You want to catch this warning sign early. Always give your contracts and proposals a thorough read through, especially when it comes to the fine print, before you sign anything. Seriously, do not skip it. Many people just check out that main number. They look at that main number. How much is it going to cost? Bottom line, brass tacks. And they move on. My agreement used to be 3 pages, which after COVID, I had to relook at some things and there were some holes in there, some Swiss cheese, if you will, because of COVID. I had to restructure how some things are done. And my contract, my agreement is now 8 pages printed, which I will actually take the time during the consultation to literally read the agreement line by line, watering it down mostly, so that there are no questions. And if there are questions, I can answer them on the spot. Does their agreement make sense? Number 5, the next question, are they pushing your budget to the limit? So every vendor's got their own price range, whether it's a florist or some hotshot wedding planner or something like that. Vendors, they might be flexible with budgets, but it's important to know that what you can spend matches up with what they usually charge. You definitely don't want to be scraping by just to meet a vendor's minimum and then end up disappointed. That's why it's super important to talk openly about your budget. Let them know what you're dealing with, see how they react, and then figure out your next steps based on that. It's the reason that I ask the question right there on my information request form. It says, and I quote, "What is your budget for entertainment?" It's also the reason I don't list my price point on my website. I want to know your budget. No, not so I can take that number and build off of it. I have one price point and I know what that is. And if you've hired me, you know what that is. But for me, that price point, if it's out of the range of what you're looking to spend, I know that going into our first conversation. And I can say, I'll be very candid with you. As far as my price point is concerned, this is where I'm normally at. Based on what you've given me on that request form, I may be outside. It looks like I'm outside of what your budget is. However, this is what you're getting when you invest in me. So now it makes sense to you as my client to say, oh, okay, well, that's why he charges that amount of money. Obviously, the number I've come up with is the number that I know with the amount of events I'm going to take during the year. And I'm picky, by the way. I don't say yes to every single couple out there. Like I just told you, I could have taken that young groom's money, but I said, no, I'm not going to just compromise to book an event. So I am also very choosy and picky with who I work with. I don't just say yes to everyone, especially if it's just about money for you. But that's a different show. That's a different episode. So my price point, the way I do it, I want to know your budget so that I know if it even makes sense for us to work together. I don't want to push you to the limit. You know, if you tell me $500 less than what I normally charge, that's pushing it to the limit. You're probably looking for someone that, and I'm just saying this as a matter of fact, not to disparage in any way, shape, or form. You're probably looking for someone that will just play music and just keep things going. And yeah, that's fine. You know, if they're within our budget, right? You don't necessarily, you know, some of those other things you're willing to compromise on. Used to know those things back in the day from sales, my sales days, my days as a sales trainer for a small mortgage company here in Michigan you've never heard of. You could probably figure it out. But yeah, people will often compromise service for cost. You will often compromise good service in order to save a few bucks. And most often, here's the kicker. The stuff you see when you go to a vendor's website or you see ads that they may have run on social media, those things that you're seeing usually cost more than what their base price really is. So if your budget can't handle the fancy work that caught your eye, you might end up feeling let down, like you spent too much and didn't get what you really wanted. Don't stick with vendors who keep pushing you to spend more. That's a big deal to me. Hey, you know what? Add this. No, for me, transparent. Everything I offer, I bring with me every single time. You will never pay more for everything that I bring with me. That's why I don't do packages. I hate packages. I should be giving you everything I have every single time, no questions asked. So look for vendors who focus on weddings that are in your budget and will help you through the process while keeping things real. Are they pushing your budget? Next question, do you share the vision? Do you share the vision? The best vendors can tweak their style to match what you're after, but it's always wiser to go with ones whose past work matches your vibe. I learned this lesson a few years ago. I worked with a client who the only constructive feedback they offered was that our personalities didn't match. And I was confused about that because the wedding went off without a hitch. It was at a venue that had multiple things going on. Multiple things were asked of me. And I did every single one of them with a smile on my face. And even at the end of the night, the bride's father handed me a pretty sizable tip. That was nice. But then I get the review. And the review says, you know, he's great, but our personalities didn't match. I was floored by that. I didn't understand that until many years later, where I started getting more choosy about who I work with. If you know me at any length now, if you know me in any depth, I've got energy, and I bring that energy to every event that I play. So if that energy doesn't match your vision, your vibe, I'm not your guy, and that's okay. You may not want a DJ who's as involved as I am. You may want someone who's a little more subdued than me, and that's totally okay. But if someone says they can do what you want, and this goes for many different things out there, you know, the way that they MC, the way that I MC is something that is unique to me. I don't really see a whole lot of people doing it the way that I do. So if someone tells you they can do what you want, but the way they've done it in the past doesn't jive with what you're looking for, with your tastes, with your vision, that is a warning. That is a red flag. You don't want your wedding as well to be their practice run, right? So if you've got a florist or a baker that says, oh yeah, we can do that. We don't normally do that, but we can do that for you. Warning. They're practicing. They've not done it before. Be careful. It's your big day. Okay. You've got to pick vendors whose style and experience and vibes match with yours. Lots of wedding vendors have their own cool look or process or procedure. So it's super important that you dig their recent work, that you love what they've done. If you've seen a photographer and you want that photographer, but their past work doesn't match up, if you're not into all black and white, or if you're into all posed photos and they don't do but just candids, that's a warning. And then they tell you, oh, I can do that. That may not be their style. You've got to be careful. When you dig, when you connect with their recent work, you'll be able, you'll have more confidence, right? You'll know that they can nail the style that you love. Things usually go way smoother when your vibe matches up with your vendor's vibe. It's way easier to create something awesome when you're on the same page rather than just trying to come up with something totally new, having no clue where to start. And the same goes for me. Some of my clients don't want the whole lighting truss or uplighting or, you know, other things that I offer. I don't push, and this kind of goes back to the other point, I don't push the monogram on everybody. A monogram isn't for everybody. Some people want the whole kit and caboodle. That's great. Some people don't. You know, when that happens, when people say they want adjustments, that's fine. For me, it's a little different, right? I can remove pieces and it's no big deal, but you know, I will normally adapt and give them that something that fits the style of what they're looking for. My style is to give everybody everything I have every single time. So for me, I can remove pieces and it's not really going to change the experience very much. But with other vendors, you have to be careful. You have to watch out and make sure that what they've done in the past is what you want. Don't reinvent the wheel on this one. Keep it simple. Last question. Is there a connection? For me, that's key. The vendor that your sister or best friend or colleague clicked with when they were chatting about place settings or linen samples or cake tastings, that person might not click the same way with you. It's all about connecting with your vendor's vibe. This goes right back to what I was just talking about with that personality matching. If their oil, your water, or vice versa, it might be tricky. That's why I think having similar personalities and energies is super helpful, unless you're someone who thrives on the whole opposites attract thing. I'll be candid, that's why I've gotten choosier these days. If you have a hard time, and we'll talk about this in the consultations usually, but I'll ask the question, who's the introvert, who's the extrovert? Are you extroverted introverts? Are you introverted extroverts? Me personally, I am an introverted extrovert. I think that's how I would say it, right? Yeah, I'm an introverted extrovert. I love my quiet time. I love my privacy. I hate crowds, but I love being in front of crowds. If that makes any sense, right? I love being in front of people, but I can't stand people. An introverted extrovert. if our vibe is like that, cool. If we connect that way, awesome. That's great. That's why I've gotten choosier, because like the aforementioned wedding where the bride didn't think our personalities matched, well, that's okay. I learned that for the next time. And that's why I've started to get choosier about who I work with. Yeah, it's super important to connect with your vendors, especially for people you're going to be with all day long. Wedding planners, photographers, videographers, hair and makeup stylists, right? Those are the people you'll be with all day long, or a good amount of time when you're sitting in the chair having your hair did, right? Yeah, you need to be able to vibe with a person that's, molding and shaping your head, really. You've got to click with your vendors. You don't want to be stuck with folks you can't stand. If you don't like a vendor, it's a big red flag. It's a warning sign. Don't hire them. Be choosy, just like me. The market's full of options. There is a perfect fit for everyone that exists out there. You also have to make sure you see how the vendor treats everybody else besides you and your partner, because you need a team that can work together smoothly to make your day perfect. If during the process they're giving attitude to a planner, to other vendors, or other clients, that's not a good sign. Being difficult or acting like a diva or a divo, that is a big red flag as well. Vendors are all important pieces of the puzzle. We make the big picture come together, but without teamwork, it literally is just a bunch of bits and pieces. You've got to keep it humble or step aside. You got to ask yourself, is there a connection with your vendor? One more time from the top, those questions. Does your vendor lack a sense of urgency? Does your vendor promise big things at a suspiciously low price? Do they flake on appointments and calls? Does their agreement make sense? Are they pushing your budget to the limit? Do you share the vision? And is there a connection? Man, that's just the important stuff right there. That's just all there is to it. That's all there is to it. So hopefully, if you've not booked some of your vendors and you're listening to this, I gave you something to think about. If you've got all your vendors, this is still something to think about. I want to make sure that everybody out there is able to work with the people that they've hired and they feel good about those decisions. That's it for me for today. They may not be that into you. And that's because, well, maybe they're just not the right fit. And that's okay. Whatever you do, remember to love each other, be kind, tell someone you love them. Really, just good luck with March Madness. I don't know. It is what it is. Have a good one.